You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Calling all men. When was the last time you had a really good cry? A recent survey found that women cry on average 5 times a month, while men cry on average only once a month. Studies have shown that crying can support your mental, your physical, and your emotional health. I'm Radhi Devlukia, and on my podcast, A Really Good Cry, we embrace the real, the messy, and the beautiful. Listen to A Really Good Cry on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What is up? Welcome to another edition of the Fantasy Stardom Sit'em Show. It's me, your man, MG Marcus Grant, joined by Michael F. Florio, who is the hero we both need and deserve because he brings us his starts and sits every single week. You can check him out at NFL.com/start-sit. So I just pose this to you. Now that you have put your heart and soul into it for this week and put your opinions out there for the whole world to see, are you prepared to have your thoughts ridiculed by the general public?
The internet is always a friendly place, Marcus. I don't know what you're talking about. They're always they love every call I ever make.
My bad. I totally forgot what I was talking about here. Absolutely. We got plenty we will get through. We'll get through starts and sits. Plus, I'll give you a handful of guys and let you know kind of where our temperature is on them right now. But let's get started with the quarterback position. Take us through your starts and sits for week 5.
Joe Burrow in a great matchup against the Ravens. Jared Goff, who is low-key a top-5 fantasy quarterback right now. Russell Wilson on TNF is a start for me, and so is Tom Brady, the GOAT against Atlanta. Some sits, Geno Smith coming off of his huge game, but it's a tough matchup. Aaron Rodgers, who just hasn't looked the same, and then Matt Ryan and Kenny Pickett. I'd also add, maybe you sit Matt Stafford this week, too.
It has been tough for Matt Stafford the last couple of weeks. No touchdown passes for him in a couple of games. But let's go back to Joe Burrow. And I know the first 2 weeks weren't great, but since then he's turned it up. And right now, maybe aside from the Lions, I don't know that there's a better matchup than the Baltimore Ravens.
Yeah, that is exactly right. The Ravens right now are allowing the 4th most fantasy points per game to quarterbacks, but they're in the top 5 in most passing yards, touchdowns, and rushing touchdowns allowed to the position. And last year in 2 games against them, he threw for 416 and 525 yards. That's nearly 1,000 yards in 2 games alone. He also threw 7 touchdowns in that game. So I think Joe Burrow is going to have his best game of the year so far this week.
It's insane the numbers he put up against the Baltimore Ravens last year. Yeah, this feels like a really good fantasy game on both sides there between Cincinnati and Baltimore. Jared Goff, who has shocked the world, as you mentioned, he is a top 5 fantasy quarterback through the first 4 weeks of the season. As Adam Rank pointed out on NFL Fantasy Live, it was Bill Belichick that caused Goff's demise in the Super Bowl. But it appears that you're not really afraid of the Belichick defense this time around.
Yeah, the whole thing is the Belichick Patriots defense has not been as scary as they normally are. In fact, right now they're in the top 10 in most fantasy points allowed to quarterbacks. And the thing that we spoke about on our podcast, Marcus, is like the 2 best offenses in football right now are the Lions and whoever's playing the Lions. So if the Patriots could put up some points, make Jared Goff have to keep throwing, I think right now that he is just in play as a QB1 moving forward until he shows us otherwise.
The best thing for Jared Goff going forward is to have the Lions defense continue to be terrible. So then he has to keep throwing the football and putting up fantasy points there. On the flip side, you know, where before we were never really starting Jared Goff, we were always starting Aaron Rodgers, we're in the upside down now where we are starting Jared Goff, and Aaron Rodgers, he keeps showing up on this sit list. He's there again this week against the Giants, huh?
Yeah, he's in the upside down right now, and there's no Hopper or I'm forgetting the other. Like, they're not coming to save you. I'm sorry, 11's not coming to save you right now, Aaron Rodgers. That's just not gonna happen. Rodgers hasn't topped 260 passing yards in a game this year. He hasn't thrown for more than 2 touchdowns in any of those games. He doesn't have 17 fantasy points yet this year, and he hasn't been a top 10 fantasy quarterback in any week yet this season. Right now, Aaron Rodgers is more a name than production, and names don't score points for fantasy. So I think, especially in a game like this where they can just run the ball a lot against the Giants, I'm worried about Aaron Rodgers. And in fact, Marcus, I'm not against, you know, potentially even dropping the two-time MVP, reigning MVP right now.
Wow, that is wild, but maybe not a completely ridiculous statement. It's amazing, though, because the Packers, you know, Aaron Rodgers is not doing a whole lot for fantasy, but the Packers are 3-1, and I don't know that they change their formula anytime soon as long as they're being successful, which bodes poorly if you're trying to start Aaron Rodgers in fantasy football. By the way, that game is over in London. It kicks off 9:30 a.m. Eastern. You can see it exclusively on NFL Network, playing at a Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. You should also be able to stream it on NFL Plus. And, you know, sort of like last week, a reminder, maybe set your lineup on Saturday. And, you know, if you were burned last week by Alvin Kamara, maybe you set an alarm or two and you wake yourself up a little bit early. If you decide to have a life on Sunday morning, I will not fault you for it. If you're out there on Twitter, no Twitter shaming people who missed the start of a game with a surprise inactive. Not everybody eats, sleeps, and breathes fantasy football. All right. Let's pivot to the wide receivers. Florio, who are your starts and sits this week?
I'm starting Tom Brady. I'm also starting his receiver, Chris Godwin, in a good matchup. CeeDee Lamb, regardless of the quarterback, has been productive. DK Metcalf is just getting funneled targets his way right now. And Curtis Samuel continues to be Washington's top target, so he is in play. Some sits, sadly, DJ Moore, it's not your fault, it's Baker's, but you are sitting Julio Jones, who was the 4th wide receiver last week, is sitting Elijah Moore, who is struggling to get work. And then Michael Gallup, just until we see him 100% and get more work.
Yeah, it's interesting. Elijah Moore is one who's been a disappointment because we expected more from him and it hasn't happened. Part of me just feeling on vibes, maybe this is a week he breaks out, but you're not forced to start him anywhere, so maybe you don't. Chris Godwin is back after missing some time with an injury, and we talked about this on the pod with Tom Brady getting his weapons back. He looks good. The matchup is just too good to think that Godwin can't have a good game.
Yeah, it's exactly that. The Falcons have allowed the 7th most fantasy points to receivers. And while Chris Godwin may still be working his way back to 100% health, his usage is already fully back. Last week, 81% of the snaps, he ran the 2nd most routes of their receivers. He saw 10 targets, tied with Mike Evans. So a lot of volume going his way in a good matchup. And there's angry Tom Brady this week against a team that he has a huge track record of success. I feel bad for Atlanta fans this week. And Brady, I think Brady's going to have a monster game.
I think Atlanta fans are sort of riding high over the fact that they've won 2 in a row. And as of this moment, they're sitting in a tie for first place in the NFC South. I don't know that they would have pegged that after the first 4 weeks. The Dallas Cowboys coming to Los Angeles to take on the Rams at SoFi Stadium. Don't let the struggles of Matthew Stafford and the Rams offense distract you from the fact that the Rams are giving up big yards and big fantasy points to wide receivers, and I'm guessing that's the reason you like CeeDee Lamb this week.
Yeah, that's a huge part of it. And I know with them having Jalen Ramsey and being the reigning Super Bowl champs, Aaron Donald, like, they have a lot of good pieces on that defense. Sometimes we think that they're one of the best defenses in football, and that just hasn't been the case this year, at least against receivers. They've allowed the 2nd most fantasy points to that position. And then CeeDee Lamb, even with Cooper Rush, his yards have increased every game with Rush. He's getting double-digit targets pretty much every single week. He might not have the bonkers ceiling that he has with a Dak Prescott, but Lamb has been very, very reliable. He's getting safe work in a good matchup. I think he's very much so a wide receiver 1 again.
every week with the Rams. Week one, it was Buffalo kind of running through them. Week two, they got a win, but Drake London had a nice game for the Falcons. Week three, it was the Cardinals. Marquise Brown doing some work. And then on Monday night last week, Deebo Samuel had that ridiculous catch and run as part of a big night for him as the 49ers got a win against the Los Angeles Rams defense. That gets us to a group of guys that we are getting a lot of questions about in a segment we called How We Feeling. We called that we call How We Feeling. And so let's just kind of run through some of these. You'll take a few. I'll take a few. We'll try to take the temperature of some of these players. Let's start with Devin Singletary going against the Pittsburgh Steelers. Singletary's been more of a play than I think we imagined. How are we feeling about him this week?
Yeah, I think he's in play as like an RB2 or a flex option. He's playing a bunch of snaps. He's getting all the pass game work. The only issue is Josh Allen has been the Bills' leading rusher every game this year. But Devin Singletary getting a lot more pass work than we anticipated. Definitely more valuable than we thought and in play, I would say.
I definitely think he's in play this week. Clyde Edwards-Helaire going against the Raiders. That's on Monday Night Football. I will say, look, he's in play. I think you just keep rolling with him until the wheels fall off. You look at the way he's being used and the fact that Jerick McKinnon and Isaiah Pacheco are getting work in that backfield. This all feels like a house of cards. He's not going to be a top five running back all year long. But until we see otherwise, I think you got to keep him in your starting lineup. Over to the Washington Commanders, Terry McLaurin going against a kind of shaky Tennessee Titans secondary. How we feeling?
Yeah, the matchup keeps him in play, but sadly, Marcus, I think Terry is kind of more of a wide receiver three, maybe borderline wide receiver two, whereas I thought he had big breakout upside coming into the year. Curtis Samuel just continues to be the top target for Carson Wentz, so a little boom or bustness for Terry McLaurin right now.
And throwing the fact that Jahan Dotson is scoring touchdowns, that also takes a little bit of food off McLaurin's plate. Amari Cooper going against the Los Angeles Chargers, I would say, look, I feel like you got to start him as a wide receiver too, at least just because that tunnel, that funnel right now for the targets, it's pretty narrow. It right now is Amari Cooper and David Njoku. And I know Cooper was not very good last week, but I think that's just sort of the ups and downs of having Amari Cooper. As long as Jacoby Brissett is looking at just those two guys, Cooper remains in play. Not a scenario I would have imagined coming into the season, but here we are. So I think you got to get him in your lineup. Jaylen Waddle going against the Jets. Very likely we're going to see Teddy Bridgewater starting again this week. So how are we feeling about Waddle?
Not nearly as good as when he had Tua, because we knew exactly the two targets that almost every pass was going to. I have questions if Teddy can sustain two wide receivers like Tua was, but I still think Waddle is too explosive. You start him against the Jets just because one catch, he can go the whole distance.
That's the thing. Get him out in space. Let him use his speed. You never know what's going to happen. Drake London going against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Last week was not a good one for the Falcons pass catchers, but I think you stay with Drake London just because, one, there aren't too many guys that are getting the football. I know Kyle Pitts isn't getting it the way we wanted to, but Drake London is still getting targets, still running a ton of routes, and I would expect that the Falcons will be playing from behind against the Buccaneers. They will be forced to throw it way more than they did last week against the Cleveland Browns. So Drake London's still in play as at least a second wide receiver, maybe a flex option for a lot of fantasy managers. Back to the Monday night game, Darren Waller taking on the Kansas City Chiefs. What are you thinking there?
Kyle Pitts and to an extent George Kittle are getting all the blame for like struggling tight ends, and Darren Waller's just out here getting a pass. The guy has fewer than 25 yards in two straight games. He only has one game all year with more than six targets. Because he's a tight end and the position he plays and the upside that we know he has, I still think you have to start him right now each week, but he should be getting some more concern talk like the other tight ends are right now, I think.
Well, since you mentioned the other tight ends, George Kittle and the 49ers taking on the Carolina Panthers. And I think you got to start him, but man, it's scary right now. Some of it is because the 49ers are leaving him to block. But when he is out running routes, he's just not getting looks. And if you go back, I believe it was Rich Rebar that tweeted about this. It's been a while since he's had a big game, and it's not all because they're just using him as a sixth offensive lineman, but because of his talent profile, because of his ceiling, it's hard to make a case for him to be on your bench. So you may not like it, but George Kittle's a guy I think you have to keep in your starting lineup. Let's dive into the tight ends. Florio, who you got this week?
David Njoku, who's been really useful the last couple of weeks, remains in play. Zach Ertz is a start every week. Dallas Goedert, in what's kind of a revenge game amongst the Eagles tight ends, is in play. And then Gerald Everett, just because of the work he's been getting. And my sits, Dawson Knox, who's just lost in the shuffle right now. Irv Smith Jr., Mo Alie-Cox, until we see a Colts tight end do it consistently. And Evan Engram, who just hasn't been getting the volume.
Well, let's talk about that revenge game between the Cardinals and the Eagles. Dallas Goedert, Zach Ertz, once teammates, the trade happened. Both guys were able to prosper. But let's look at Ertz specifically. The Cardinals have decided they have this weird strategy where they don't score points in the first half, and they try to do all their work in the second half. It's unorthodox. I don't know that it's being successful. But for Zach Ertz, it seems to be working out at least fairly well.
Yeah, those people who wrote Zach Ertz off heading into last season, it's pretty wild, because all he's been is the third best tight end in the game this season. He scored double-digit fantasy points every game, which is huge for a tight end. And what I love is only Davante Adams has more targets inside the 10-yard line than Zach Ertz. So while he's not Mark Andrews or Travis Kelce, he's the next best thing right now after those two.
Just curious, I know you had both Ertz and Goddard on your start list. Who do you think comes out on top in the battle of those two former teammates this week?
I'm going with Ertz just because I think his volume is a little safer. Goddard has two big wide receivers there that take it away.
And the fact that the Eagles are also running the football well, I think, has something to do with it as well. David Njoku, who has become a thing. We've been waiting for the breakout for a while. It seems to be coming. Never thought Jacoby Brissett would be the author of said breakout. But I think, are you of the opinion now that Njoku's kind of a must start every week?
Yeah, I have him ranked very highly this week. In fact, I have him over like Kittle and Pitts and those struggling tight ends. Last week, he ended up catching 5 balls for 73 yards on 7 targets. He lost a fumble, which knocked him into single-digit fantasy points. But the fact that 2 weeks in a row he's been the second target for the Browns, he's clearly heavily involved. They like getting the ball in space so he could show off his athletic chops. I really think David Njoku is almost a borderline top 5 tight end right now.
Wow. I mean, that's kind of where we are. He's gotten that target share. I talked about Amari Cooper. I mean, it's pretty much just those two guys when it comes to the Cleveland Browns passing game. Let's talk about some players we think deserve a little bit more hype and what we're considering to be must-starts this week. Florio, the floor is yours.
I think Damian Pierce, and I think Damian Pierce is someone that you can start this week, and if the usage continues, pretty much every week moving forward. Last week, the couple of weeks in a row now, he's been dominating snaps out of that backfield, but last week, no other running back had a carry. No one else on the team had a carry. And he had more targets than Rex Burkhead, who continues to be involved in the passing game. But they're getting Damian Pierce involved there as well. So that kind of usage, regardless of the matchup, I think has him in play. And the Jags are a matchup that don't really scare me off of Damian Pierce.
They were the top rushing defense in the league until they ran up on the Eagles last week, and then that all went away. I got another Damian, and this one is Damian Harris going against the Detroit Lions. And we keep saying you can start everybody against the Lions. I think this week we're really going to sort of test that theory, especially with us both calling Bailey Zappe a deep sleeper. But Damian Harris, we keep sort of waiting for the touchdown regression to happen. It's not really happening. He has scored a touchdown in 13 of his last 15 games. I always say touchdowns are fickle beasts, but when you have numbers like that, it starts to be by design. He's getting those opportunities down near the goal line. The only thing that could hinder him is if the Lions run off to a big lead and force the Patriots to go into catch-up mode. But as long as they stay within shouting distance of Detroit in that offense, which certainly is not unbelievable, I think Damian Harris is going to have a pretty big role there. Who else is a must-start for you this week?
Tyler Higbee, who low-key is just, you know, one of two Rams players that I think you could start right now. The obvious one is Cooper Kupp. I know people got a little worried when we saw him get just 4 targets in week 3, but besides that game, he has seen 11, 9, and 14 targets. He had 10 catches this past week. For some tight ends, that's a good 2-3 weeks. It's one game for Tyler Higbee. He is very much so a tight end that I think we just need to start every week.
Well, going from a current Ram to a former Ram, Robert Woods has started to come to life the last couple of weeks for the Tennessee Titans, and it's a passing game that doesn't have a whole lot of consistent options. Treylon Burks is hurt. They're trying to make things work with guys like Kyle Phillips. It's nice to see Derrick Henry get more targets, but really, it looks like Ryan Tannehill has found something with Robert Woods, and you talked about him as being Robert Woods early in the season. The last couple of weeks, he has become Bobby Trees again and has a really good matchup against Washington in a game that could sneakily feature a whole lot more points than maybe we were anticipating. So if you got Robert Woods, it feels like a good week to plug him in, at least as a flex, maybe as a wide receiver too. Can you trust Ezekiel Elliott in your lineup? I think we sort of know the answer to that, but we're going to dive into that and a whole lot more when we look at the starts and sits for the running back position. Plus, we got Club Dub! 25 points to get you in the club this week. And Money Guns! Stay tuned for that on the Stardom Sit'em Show.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Calling all men. When was the last time you had a really good cry? A recent survey found that women cry on average 5 times a month, while men cry on average only once a month. Studies have shown that crying can support your mental, your physical, and your emotional health. I'm Radhi Devlukia, and on my podcast, A Really Good Cry, we push against typical societal norms. We embrace the real, the messy, and the beautiful, providing a space for raw, unfiltered conversations that celebrate vulnerability and allow you to tune in to share, connect, and find comfort together.
Our tears come as a way to let us release what we can't hold anymore.
I trust that no one's ever going to find out those deepest, darkest secrets.
Yeah, it's been a hard day. She walks out, and this is what she looks like.
Oh my gosh, give her an Oscar.
Listen to A Really Good Cry with me, Radhi Devlukia, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
NFL Plus is the league's new exclusive video streaming subscription service. NFL Plus has your game day covered with live, local, and primetime regular season and postseason games right on your phone or tablet. NFL Plus is available in the NFL app and at NFL.com. Subscription plans start at just $4.99 per month. Fans can visit plus.nfl.com and sign up for a free trial of NFL Plus today. Let's take a look at the start sit running backs for week 5. Florio, who you got?
James Robinson, who I know is coming off of a down week, but he gets the Houston Texans. Josh Jacobs, who's getting more usage there. And speaking of more usage, Miles Sanders is very much so in play, and so is Rashad Penny if he suits up this week. Despite a tough matchup, the sits, Ezekiel Elliott, Tyler Algier, who I know was a popular waiver wire pickup, the same thing with Mike Boone tonight on TNF, and then Michael Carter going up against the Miami Dolphins.
Well, earlier this week on the NFL Fantasy Football Show, we both apologized to Josh Jacobs for doubting him this season. So now that we've cleared the air and everything's good, we're full speed ahead with Jacobs this week against the Chiefs, right?
Yeah, hopefully he forgave us, Marcus, because I think we're going to want this guy in our starting lineups this week in a good matchup. One, he's just been getting insane usage the last couple of weeks. Like last week, he carried the ball 28 times. And what I like most, though, is that after the first 2 weeks, they really weren't throwing him the ball. Now he has 11 targets in the last two games with at least 5 in each. So if he falls behind against the Chiefs, who have allowed the 5th most fantasy points to running backs, you don't have to worry about Jacobs coming off the field because they're getting him involved in the passing game as well.
I do think he's going to get a lot of touches this week because the Raiders just don't want to get an up-and-down matchup with the Kansas City Chiefs. That feels like a losing formula. If Ezekiel Elliott and Tony Pollard were one person, they would be the RB number 5 right now. Alas, they are two people, and they are sharing the work, and it feels like that makes both of them sort of unusable, but I know especially you're focusing on Zeke right now.
Yeah, Zeke is the bigger name of the two, and I think he's the one that people drafted to try to thinking they could get in their lineup each week. But what has happened, unfortunately, with them using both is it's stripped Zeke of what his best fantasy asset was, and that was always that he had such a high floor. He has yet to score 15 fantasy points in a game. He has scored 10 or fewer in three of his four games, and it's because he just has two targets or less in every game. The volume isn't there. He doesn't have the burst that he used to have. And then this is a game against the Rams that they've been very tough against the running backs, allowing the fewest fantasy points per game. So I could see the Cowboys, we said they struggle against receivers. I could see them relying on the pass this week rather than the run.
I mean, Cooper Rush is headed for the Cowboys Ring of Honor. If you listen to Cowboys Twitter, at least, still amazed that there's a conversation about, you know, should the Cowboys stay with Cooper Rush when Dak Prescott comes back? No, they shouldn't. Let's not even entertain that notion, man. The notion we should entertain, though, is who's getting in the club dub? Who is our club dub player of the week? We got money guns at the ready. Who are the guys that we are guaranteeing you're going to get you 25 fantasy points? So please, Florio, who is getting inside the velvet ropes this week?
I messaged this guy this week because I'm like, I need you to help me get past the velvet ropes. I know people are worried about you right now, but Ja'Marr Chase, it's Ja'Marr Chase season this week going up against the Baltimore Ravens. Ja'Marr Chase, one, isn't having nearly as bad of a season as everyone is trying to make it out to be. You look at his metrics, a lot of them are on par with what it was last season. He just hasn't had that big, long touchdown yet. But I think that changes against the Ravens, who have struggled mightily against both quarterbacks and receivers this year. And we spoke earlier about the success Joe Burrow has had against them in the past. So I think Burrow has a huge game. I think Ja'Marr Chase has his get-right game as well.
You don't think that Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase are talking about this and, like, trying to cook something up to get Ja'Marr that big game coming? I mean, these dudes have known each other for years. I feel like they are going to conspire to make some big things happen. For me, it's going to be Nick Chubb! Week, the Cleveland Browns. Look, I don't care what the matchup is. Nick Chubb is going to get his touches. He's going to get his opportunities. He's got the Chargers this week who really have struggled against the run, but you just know Chubb's going to get plenty of touches. And all the metrics that you love about running backs, he excels at. He's good at yards after contact. He's good at rush yards over expectation. He gets that work. He finds the end zone. I know he's got that chip on his shoulder because he says he's tired of finishing second in the rushing title race. So everything about this says that Nick Chubb is going to eat once again this week. I mean, you're always starting Nick Chubb. But this week feels like an especially good week to start Nick Chubb. There you go. Those are our guys that we are letting into Club Dub that are get you 25 points and hopefully help you eat a dub like Jameis Winston would on any given Sunday. Eat a dub there. So anyway, we got our money. They're going to be money this week, all these guys. Hopefully you are money as well in your fantasy matchups coming up this week. Of course, you can always check us out all week long, whether it is the NFL Fantasy Football Show on Mondays and Wednesdays, whether it is the Q&A show on Tuesdays and Fridays, or this show on Thursdays. You can find it in your NFL Fantasy app, the NFL channel, NFL.com, and on YouTube. You can also find it from your favorite podcast provider. Just subscribe to any one of these shows, and all of them will show up in your podcast feed. In the meantime, that'll do it for this edition of the Stardom Sit'em Show. He's Mike, I'm Marcus. We appreciate you watching. Enjoy week five. May all your starts and sits be great ones. We'll talk to you next week.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Calling all men. When was the last time you had a really good cry? A recent survey found that women cry on average 5 times a month, while men cry on average only once a month. Studies have shown that crying can support your mental, your physical, and your emotional health. I'm Radhi Devlukia, and on my podcast, A Really Good Cry, we embrace the real, the messy, and the beautiful. Listen to A Really Good Cry on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.